particular need. There are those that are going to undergo surgery, and some of our folks that have already undergone surgery are in the process of recovery. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that every day that we get up is showered with your goodness. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great, great is your faithfulness.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the answers to prayer that you have given when your people cry to you. And we as a nation, when we gather around people that are in dire straits, we thank you for the miracles that you perform. We thank you for rescuing these 9 minors. And Lord, we pray that in this rescue, you would be glorified. And not the spirit of men or the heroics of mechanization, but people will see the grace and the mercy of God. Father, we pray for each of these families and these people that have gone through great suffering and ask that you would put your arms around them and in the middle of their difficulties, in the middle of their heartaches and their pain and their suffering, that they will find you as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the camp ministries around the United States, those locally, for the Mahaffey Camp, Lord. We thank you for your ministry there to our young people, to our children, and to the adults. And Father, we pray that the fruit that has been gathered in these weeks will remain unto everlasting life. That those that have come to know Christ as Savior will follow him and deepen their walk with him. And Father, we pray that the blessings from those camps will overflow in our churches. And we will experience the presence of the Lord as if it's a camp meeting. Because where 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name, you have promised that you're there, right in the middle of them. We thank you that you're here this morning, Lord. And you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so, Lord, we ask boldly that you would do great things among us. That you would pour out your Spirit on us. That you would change us and mold us and remake us. That you would heal marriages and restore lives. That you would save sinners. And you rescue those that are under addictions or bondages of any kind. Lord, we pray that you would deepen the walk of believers who for years have not walked close to you. We pray, Father, that you would save sons and daughters that are backslidden or far from you. We pray, Lord, that you would reach out your healing hand and heal those that are suffering. Father, we pray for these that are going through surgery. Lord, we pray for Gene Rogers as he's gone through this surgery on her arm, that you would bring complete healing to those nerves and that she'd be able to feel again and have sensation in her fingers and be able to serve you faithfully. Father, we pray for Joe Morris as he goes into surgery tomorrow, that your hand would be on him, that he would sense your presence and you would guide the hand, the wisdom of the doctors to deal with this issue. And Lord, we thank you that when we have cried to you, we have called upon you, you have answered. Thank you that you are able to do these things. And Father, now we pray for those among us that are carrying heavy burdens. And many times we don't know of those burdens, Lord, but you know. And we pray that those burdens would be lifted this morning as they're laid at the feet of Jesus. And Lord, that you would minister to those hearts. Encourage their lives. Bring a smile to their face and joy in their hearts that will overflow. We ask for your ministry today, Lord, and in the worship that we give to you and in the preaching. And as we leave this place, Lord, may we go in the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless now our offerings as we give it to you, Lord. Multiply it and use it to spread the gospel all over the world that others might have the joy that we have in Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Wait on you now for the tithes and offerings, and as we give to the Lord, will you continue to worship and look to Jesus?
Thank you.
Right before the message, we're going to sing a prayer inviting God's Holy Spirit into our presence, asking Him to fall upon us fresh, asking Him to melt us and mold us, fill us, and make us into those people that He wants us to be. Let's stand as we sing. Spirit of the living God.
Again, we thank you, worship team and musicians, vocalists, and pianists for the wonderful music that's given to the Lord. It is a gift from Him and given back to Him, and that delights the Lord when we take what God has gifted us with and offer it back to Him. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit as we conclude the Gospel of John. It has taken us a number of weeks and will take us some more weeks yet as we complete perspective of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was with His disciples and giving Him his last words. And as He shared His last words with them, He wanted to encourage them. And so beginning with chapter 14 on through chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, we see these last words of the Lord Jesus, which are significant and important words. He ends those words with the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, that we have a relationship with Jesus, the vine. And then we have a relationship to one another in which we are to be the body of Christ and love one another. We have a relationship to the world in which we are to be different than the world and stand out as lights in the world. And then he concludes it by saying, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we've taken that as our springboard to teach about the Holy Spirit. And we've seen a number of facets of the Holy Spirit and His ministry. Last week we looked at the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And let me say, if you've missed any of these messages, you need to get them, not because I preach them, but you need to get them because we need to know about the Holy Spirit. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is given to us, and we need to be taking advantage of what God has given to us. We need to understand it, tap into it, and be used of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we're looking at the filling or fullness of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in general as he writes to the Ephesians. The Ephesian church was a church that came out of great secularism and spiritual debauchery, spiritual occult. That is, many of the people in that church had participated in occult practices and all kinds of wickedness. We read about that in the book of Acts, where conversion came and a great revival came to the church of Ephesus. And people were saved out of all walks of life, and they burned their books of curious arts and magic and all the spiritist stuff. And God began to do wonderful and powerful things with them. Now, years later, Paul is writing to that church and encouraging them to walk with the Lord. And in that, he references the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read a few verses surrounding the key verse this morning, verse 18. See that you walk circumspectly or wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul now gives us what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Some of your translations say debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus of our attention this morning is verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning we need our eyes to be opened. We need our understanding to be enlightened. We need to be taught. We need, Lord, to understand what your will is regarding the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would take away all the distractions, the things that hinder us from focusing on your word, on your message, and on your truth. And that you would teach us and show us the things of God and show us what you want us to be like. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. I could ask you the question this morning, how many of you are drunk with wine this morning? Don't answer, don't show your hands. But I could take the counterpart of this verse and ask, how many are filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Now, don't raise your hands on that one either. Often when people are asked the question, are you filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to cough and clear their throat and give themselves a space of time to think and say, what does that mean? How can I answer that? I don't want to say no. And so usually the response is, well, I hope so. The Apostle Paul writes to the church and he does not say, hope to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or wish that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe sometime or other in your Christian experience you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says it very emphatically, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the tense of the verb here. He says, be filled, be ongoing, being filled up with the Holy Spirit and all that God has for you. God desires that his people be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is amazing how many people have no understanding of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's some terms here that need to be defined, and we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and there's different ministries. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and many times when you ask somebody if they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, they immediately think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're of the Pentecostal persuasion, you immediately jump to some conclusions and say, have you spoken in tongues? That's not what Paul's talking about, and that's not what the Word is talking about when it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you became a believer, when you received Jesus Christ into your life and asked Him to be your Savior, and He cleansed you from your sin, there was a transaction that took place in which God, by the Holy Spirit, came into your life. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself came into your life, and He did that by the Holy Spirit. That is your baptism. That's your initiatory experience. That's your introduction to the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. We talked last week about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's different than filling, and that's different than baptism. That's being equipped by the Spirit of God for the work that God has for you. Being gifted by Him, or being given a power or an anointing from the Lord to do what you couldn't do before. But this morning we want to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us get a little bit nervous about that because we're not quite sure. There's all kinds of voices out there in the Christian community. If you listen to Christian talk radio or Christian preaching radio or television programs, you get all kinds of mixed messages about the Holy Spirit. And we're living in a confused age. There are people that teach that everybody that's born again is filled with the Spirit. You don't have to worry about it. On the other side, there are people that say, no, if you don't have the experience that I have, if you don't speak in tongues or have some external sign that the Holy Spirit is in your life, He's not in your life. There's confusion on every side. A.W. Tozer has written many wonderful books, and there is one called Keys to the Deeper Life, in which he describes the fear that many Christians have. He says this: the doctrine of the Spirit as it relates to the believer has over the last century been shrouded in a mist such as lies upon the mountain in the stormy weather. A world of confusion has surrounded this truth. The children of God have been taught contrary doctrines from the same texts. They have been warned and threatened and intimidated until they instinctively recoil from every mention of the Bible teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. And I have to agree with him and say, amen, you're right. There is a fear in our day, especially of non-Pentecostal churches, that when we talk of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about some extreme thing or something weird and wild that the Holy Spirit is going to do. But that is not the case. The Apostle Paul was not talking about experiencing something weird and wild. He was talking about normal Christian life, but our everyday experience that we ought to be familiar with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, the truth is, most Christians have no knowledge of what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They are ignorant of the things of God, ignorant of the Holy Spirit, and so they miss what God has for them. I remember early in my search and my hunger for the Lord. I was saved, yes, but there was a hunger deep inside that I wanted more. Have you ever had that? You're saved, you know you're forgiven. You know your name is written in heaven, you're on your way to heaven. But there's something inside that cries out for more. You want more of the Lord. You want a touch of God on your life. And I had that, and that's really something that God puts in every believer. And I was searching and I was seeking. I was hearing all these messages from different places. So I started to go to a church that we'll call Pentecostal or Charismatic. And I was curious about this thing about the fullness of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And I saw some strange things there. I saw at times, I went to a tent meeting. This was one of my first introductions to it. This happened to be a group of people that really believed in the what they called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they brought in the drums and guitar. And during the service, they started playing louder, louder, louder. And pretty soon, people got up in the aisles and they started dancing around. And after a while, they were spinning around. And pretty soon, the girls, I don't know why the guys didn't have this happen, but the girls had it happen, that they fell on the ground. And their skirts would go over their heads. Something mighty mysterious about this filling of the Holy Spirit. And they even had cloths that they used to cover the girls because that was so prevalent. The skirts would go over their heads. And I looked at that and I think, that's the filling of the Holy Spirit? And then there was an emphasis on this external visual or audible sign of the Spirit. They called it speaking in tongues. And they believed that unless you spoke in tongues, some of them believed you weren't even saved. And so during the service, while all this pandemonium was going on around, their elders got up out of their seats and started walking around and asking people, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Man, I was terrified. I was just a teenager, and you got these big, burly guys with hairy arms coming up to you saying, have you been filled with the Spirit of God? And then they grab hold of somebody, and they hold their head, and they shake them. And they say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was watching this going on, and these guys were lining up and they were coming down the aisle, and pretty soon they got close to me and I kept saying, dear Jesus, whatever they got, I don't want. Please, don't give me that. But they finally arrived at me and they put their hands on my head too and they prayed for me with fervency and they're sincere in what they're doing. And they said, oh, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to ask and then you need to speak in tongues. And then they began to teach me how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, you need to say hallelujah. And I said, hallelujah. And they said, no, you got to say it 10 times fast. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I didn't do it, but I heard other people doing it. And about the 10th time they say hallelujah, their tongue gets all twisted up and they're saying hallelujah. Well, you're speaking in tongues. You've got the filling. My friends, that is not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wanted us to understand that we should speak in tongues or fall on the ground or have some other emotional experience, he would have said, have an emotional experience. He would have said, speak with tongues. He would have said specifically what needed to be done to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God never ordained for us to go through those things. But God has ordained that every believer, if you're a believer here today, you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no doubt about it, I want you to raise your left hand. Okay, put your hand down. Now raise your right hand. Simon says, no. I want you to raise your hand because I want you to identify with what I'm saying. If you are a believer here this morning, you've received Jesus into your life, you know you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, then God says you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not as a one-time experience, not as an emotional ecstatic thing that goes on, but you need to be daily and hourly and throughout your life being filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember a story that's told about a man that went to one of these meetings where they were emphasizing the Holy Spirit, and they may have been doing it right or wrong, but at the end of the service, they gave invitation for people to come forward to the altar and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill them. There was one man that kept coming night after night, night after night. He would come to the altar and pray, oh, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And that night, he gets excited and he goes out. The next night he'd come back and they'd give another altar call and he comes back to the altar again. Oh, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And after about 3 or 4 days, one of the men on the platform was walking by and heard this guy doing it, recognized that he'd been there night after night. And as he prayed, oh, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, he said, Lord, don't do it. He leaks. And I laughed at that too. And I thought, yeah. But you know, the Apostle Paul is referring to that too. Every one of us leaks. In the past week, I was at Mahaffey Camp. And I got tired of being up in the third story dorm and it was so hot. I took my tent along and blew up my air mattress and slept in the tent. And boy, was that wonderful. Yeah. Well, we got this really nice mattress. Paid for the best mattress. And you fill that thing up with air, and it's supposed to be like sleeping on air. Well, I filled it up, had a special pump to fill up so I didn't have to blow it up. And the first night, I laid on that thing, and it was nice and firm. And I, oh, wow, this is great. It's great to have a mattress that's filled. After about 2 hours, my backside was on the ground. And I rolled around, and I thought, that's supposed to be the best mattress in the world. What is this? I filled it. It doesn't have any leaks. We checked for it, but I lay there, and after a couple hours, it sags. And then I realized it's made out of rubber. Duh. Rubber stretches. Plastic stretches. So no matter how much you fill it, it's going to stretch, and it's going to need to be inflated. And with the temperature changes that you have at Mahaffey Camp, from extreme highs to extreme lows to high humidity, low humidity. No, they don't have low humidity. That mattress leaks. It loses its firmness. It loses its filling. And we are like that as believers. The Lord Jesus desires that every one of us should be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in many ways, we leak. And so Paul comes to the church and he says, look, I want you to understand that you do leak. You are not perfect yet. You'll be perfect in heaven, but right now, there are times in which you will need the Holy Spirit to refill you. And we find that true in the book of Acts with the apostles. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were empowered with the Holy Spirit. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, on the day of Pentecost. And then a few days later, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. And a few days after that, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. What is this? Didn't it take the first time? Yes, it did. But Paul says you need a constant refilling of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be full or to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, we use the term of being full or being filled, and I'm going to say some things, and I don't want them misunderstood. You can be full of something. Some people are full of mischief.
Some others are full of baloney. Got to watch who I look at when I say that. Some people are filled with energy. Some are filled with knowledge. So we have all these expressions of people being filled with stuff. So it's not an unfamiliar term when Paul says be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says be filled. We understand what that means when we talk about somebody being filled, and then we have a whole plethora of derogatory terms that we use of people being filled with. But God wants us to understand what being filled is all about. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you're so inflated with the Holy Spirit. You have him inside to the extent that you are characterized by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are absorbed or saturated with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are controlled by it, or you are known by it. Paul uses an analogy here. He makes a comparison. He says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess or debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not saying being filled with the Spirit is like being drunk. Don't go out in the world and get drunk, but go to the church and get drunk. Get drunk in the Spirit. That's not what he's saying, but he's drawing a comparison. Do you ever see somebody that's drunk? I remember in Ireland, I'm going to tease my wife a little bit here. My wife hasn't been a lot around people that drink. Or she's a goody-two-shoes. And so she's not familiar with what it is to be drunk. And we went to my son's wedding, and because it was an Irish wedding, they had drink and they had lots of sinners there, and I could see when people began to be influenced by the drink, it became obvious. What's the first thing that happens? Their words start to get slurred. Well, we couldn't tell the difference in Ireland because you couldn't understand them anyway. But then their behavior begins to exhibit strange characteristics. Some of them got loud, some of them got glazed eyes. Some of them just got real moody and sat there. But there's characteristics to someone who's filled with wine. And Paul is saying that. There is a characteristic when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He says the characteristic of being filled with wine is that there's an overflow, an excess, a debauchery. There's some accompanying effects. If you get drunk, you're drunk, and everybody knows you're drunk. You might be able to hide it for a little while, but it becomes obvious after a while that you're drunk. There are some continuing things that happen when you are filled with wine. Now Paul says, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there are also some overflow things. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's some fruit that follows. And the next verses talk about that. He says, speaking unto one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He's not talking about priming the pump to get filled with the Spirit. He's saying that's the overflow of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's presence is there and evidenced by the overflowing life. I want to point out three things this morning quickly in the time that we have about the fullness of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit. Three things, and I'll try to make it simple. First of all, as I look at this passage, I recognize that the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit presumes some things. The first thing it presumes is that there is a vessel to be filled. It presumes that something can be filled, that there is a vessel there. When we talk about filling, we usually talk about a glass of water. Fill my cup. Give me a cup of coffee. Fill it up to the brim. But in that, we have to assume that there is something that is a vessel that needs to be filled. In doing this study, I went back to the Old Testament and found that in the Old Testament, for something to be sanctified or set apart by God, it had to be cleansed, it had to be filled with water, it had to go through this anointing process in which it was set apart and ready for God's use, and then at the time of the use, it would be filled with whatever God had for it. In the New Testament, we find that the temple is our bodies. That is, your body is a temple of God. That is the vessel that God wants to fill. When we come together, we pray, Lord, fill this place. Lord, fill this building. But it's not the building that God desires to fill. He desires to fill you and fill me. What does that mean? What does that mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or let my vessel or my temple be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me point out three things that means. Number one, it means that We are filled with the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when we are filled, our vessel is filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a pure vessel. He cleanses the vessels that he comes into. So the Spirit of God, when he is filling you, he is cleansing you. The second thing he does is when the Spirit of God is in you and he fills you with his presence. That is, he is there in his presence. And it ought to be evidenced in some way, not in tongues, not in some miraculous, weird demonstration, but it ought to be obvious that the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "You're different. There's something about you I can't explain. There's a quality or something there that's not in other people. What is it?" That's the Holy Spirit, his presence. And the third is his power. His purity, his presence, and his power. God longs to fill his vessels with his presence. Many years ago when our children were growing up, we listened to a radio program called, what was it called? Yeah, Children's Bible Hour. And Uncle Charlie would give stories to the children, and we went to visit them in Michigan once and picked up a tape, and the tape was called Two Buckets. I want to tell you briefly what that story of Two Buckets is all about. It's about vessels. It's about being a temple of God. A little boy who was on vacation with his dad, perhaps in a place like Mahaffey Camp, where they have a lack of facilities, and they had a bucket that was particularly for carrying water. And they would go out to the well, and they would fill the bucket with water. That was their clean bucket. But then they had another bucket that was for slop and garbage and stuff that you wouldn't want to eat or drink. And that was the slop bucket. And one day, as the dad was going through the house, he happened to run across something in his son's room, and it was some dirty magazines, or in the case of this little boy, happened to be some dirty comic books. And the dad was pretty upset about it. But he decided, rather than going to his son and hitting him over the head, as most of you fathers would do, right? He decided to teach his son a lesson. And so he took the two buckets, and he gave the one bucket to the daughter that was a clean bucket and said, "Go out and fill it with water." And he gave the other bucket, the dirty bucket, to his son and said, "Son, I know that you wouldn't mind drinking out of this one. So you go to the well and you fill this one with water, and you drink out of this bucket, and your sister will drink out of the other." Well, of course he grossed out, and he said, "Oh, man, Dad, that's sickening. That's disgusting. I wouldn't want to do that. I couldn't do that. That's filthy. I'll get sick if I drink out of that." And his dad said, "Oh, but I noticed in your room all this filthy comic book stuff that you're reading. You don't mind filling your mind with that?" And then he went on to tell his son about two buckets. God desires a bucket that's clean. He calls it sanctified, made holy, ready for the master's use. But most of us are satisfied to eat and drink out of the slop bucket. You see, when Paul says be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's indicating that there is a dirtiness to our life that needs to be cleaned up. That most of us have some slop buckets that need some cleansing. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to bring that bucket to Jesus so that he can dump it out, scrub it out, purify it with fire, sterilize it, and make it ready for the master's use. You see, there is one thing that's indicated here, and that is that as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a vessel that God wants to fill. It's not the building. It's not the temple. But it's you, the temple of the living God. There's a wonderful little book that I carry around with me and I keep right on my desk in the office, and it's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And I've dropped it somewhere here, and I know, yeah, here it is. And I welcome you to stop by the office sometime and ask for it. We'll order more for you. And it's a wonderful book that talks about our life being like a house and rooms in the house. And as he describes that, he talks about one area of the house that's filthy, and it was a closet. And the young man that's giving his life to Christ and Jesus is resident there, Jesus says, "I want to fill your whole house." But he said, "Lord, don't go in that closet. One day Jesus happened to be walking by that closet and he said, "Ooh, there's a terrible stench in there." And when the young man came home, Jesus said, "I would like to get in there and clean that up for you." And the young man said, "No, you can't go in there. Lord, you can't go in that. That's my private room. That's a room that I don't want you ever to see. I'm ashamed of what's in there." And Jesus said, "I have come into your life. You invited me into your house. And you said, Lord Jesus, fill my house. Clean my house. Be the Lord of my house. Be the owner of my house. But now you hold back this one room and you say, that's my filth room." And the young man was under conviction and he said, "Lord, I can't let you in there. But I'll do this. I'll give you the key to that secret room. And I'll hang my head in shame and you go in and clean it up. And once you do that, Lord, I ask you to stay there in your presence. That room will be as holy as my living room." You know, that's what God wants to do in each one of us. When Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, be filled with the presence of the living God. Let the Lord Jesus Christ enter every room of your house, including the attic and the garage and that secret chamber that's yours alone for filthiness. That's what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not a one-time event where we invite Jesus to come in and clean up that room, but it's a daily event. Lord, every day you have to have the key to that room. Lord, every day you have to go in there and clean up. Make sure there's nothing that's displeasing to you. And if we do that, the Lord fills the house with his presence. The second thing that's indicated here in the command to be filled with the Spirit is not only that there's a vessel, but that there's a need for that vessel to be filled. See, there's a vessel, but there's also a need for the vessel to be filled. That is, Paul recognizes that most Christians don't automatically surrender to the Lord and allow the Lord to take charge of everything, but that God is leading us along and bringing us to a place of brokenness where we say, "Lord, I don't like my life as it is. I need you. I long for you." David cried out and said, "Lord, I thirst after you." Jesus followed up on that and said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled." Filled with what? Filled with the Lord Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the presence of the Lord. That's what God's desire is. He wants us to come to the place where we're uncomfortable being filled with other things. All of us are filled with something. Filled up with garbage, or we're filled up with our own convenience, our own pleasures, our own work, and we squeeze the Lord out. It's like taking this glass and filling it up with a bunch of rocks. What will happen? The water in the glass will be pushed out, and the rocks will take over. Our lives are like that, and when we recognize that there's other things in our lives other than what pleases God, we recognize the Holy Spirit is not there, the presence of the Lord isn't there as he should be, then we cry out to God. I call this a holy desperation. We come to a place where we say, "Oh God, I need you. Lord, I can't clean up my own act. I can't do the things you command me to do. I can't walk as a Christian. I can't be holy as I ought to. I desperately need you, Lord." It's in that scenario that the Holy Spirit can fill that vessel. But in order for him to fill, we must recognize the need to be filled. No one here is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit until you long for him, until you desire him, until you recognize you need him. He is not a convenience. He's an absolute necessity. The third and last thing we see here as part of the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is that there is a way to be filled. There's a vessel. There's a need, and there is a way to be filled. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't just give us a challenge and then not give us the source, not give us a way to accomplish this. He gives us the way. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus is talking about prayer and about getting desperate with God. He talks about a woman that was desperate and went to the master of the house and begged over and over and over that he would meet that need. And finally, he did so. And in that passage, in verse 13 of Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, Paul points out the way. Do not be drunk with wine. Put aside those things that are filling your life that are not pleasing to God, and then ask for the Holy Spirit of God. That is the way, is by asking him to come in and to fill you. There are a lot of people out there that will teach you strange things about the Holy Spirit. But it's important for us to understand there are certain things that will not fill us with the Holy Spirit. Number one, you don't fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. You can't just live a good life and be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't happen that way. You can't just clean up your act and get yourself really holy and come to church with a suit and a tie on, and that makes you holy or that makes you filled with the Spirit. You don't fill yourself with the Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that God does in you. You just make yourself available. You also don't prime the pump for the Holy Spirit. We used to have an old well outside, and it was one of those handled pumps. You ever see those? And you pump, and it goes down deep into the well and pulls up the water. While I was growing up, we found out that when you go to bed at night and get up in the morning, that pump doesn't work anymore. So you have to take a cup of water and pour it down and start to pump. And that primes the pump. Suction back, and it pulls and brings up the water. Well, there's some people that think you have to do that with the Holy Spirit. You have to play loud music. You have to get people all excited. You have to play guitars and drums and scream and shout. Paul didn't say anything about that. The Lord Jesus never said anything about that. As a matter of fact, never in the Scripture is music involved with being in the Spirit. Music comes afterwards. You can't prime the pump with music. You simply come as you are because you're desperate for the Lord. You want him to fill your life and take away those things that have been filling you. You can't go to a filling station and be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you came here today thinking that this church is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit or this pastor is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you're mistaken. There are no filling stations. Well, the church is good to go to, but you don't get filled with the Spirit by going to church. But you get filled with the Holy Spirit when you get desperate with God and you say, Lord, I am your vessel. Lord, I am unclean and I have a need. I need you. I need your presence and your purity and your power. And you ask with desperation, with longing desire, with thirsty and hungry heart. You say, Lord, here am I. I need you. Come and fill me. There's a wonderful old song that was written many years ago, and it's in your hymn books. We're going to close this morning with that song. Listen to the words before I tell you where to find it. It says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing while you are seeking me. I will be found. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit, oh, everyone who is weary and sad, come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage, weary of earth joys so false and untrue, thirsting for God and his fullness of blessing? Listen to the promise, a message for you. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. The question this morning is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is the presence of the Lord filling your life right now? If the answer is no, you need to be filled. The Lord longs to fill you. The Lord longs to show himself rich and blessed in your life. In Jeremiah, there's a great lament. Jeremiah weeps and he cries. And in the voice of the Lord, he says, my people have done some wrong things. They have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have carved out for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns that are useless. What fills your life this morning? What occupies your mind? What overflows in you to other people? Is it the Spirit of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus? Or is it something else? The Lord longs to bless you. The Lord longs to fill you and me. But He waits. He waits for us to come and to ask and to receive by faith His fullness. Father, we pray this morning that You would take these words. Better yet, take Your word. Make it real to our hearts. Father, only You can give us hunger and thirst for You. For holiness. For right living. And I pray this morning that You would pour upon us a longing desire to be clean. To be whole. To be filled with the presence of the Lord in everything we do, every day. And then I ask that You would grant each of us that experience of knowing You, not just in one instance, but every day, knowing us in the fullness of Your presence, knowing You in the fullness of Your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, will you come as we close? And as we close, as we've said before, the altar is open. We're not giving an appeal for you to come, but if you're hungry and you're thirsty, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit, but He can. And He said, if you will come, He is faithful and He will fill. Number 243, I believe it is, in your hymn books. I'd like you to follow along the words as we sing and ask the Lord to give you that thirst for the fullness of the Spirit. Let's stand as we sing together.